right. Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? We're doing good? Yeah? You awake? All right. Some of these people aren't awake. Let's get coffee. Just start throwing coffee at them. It'll be good. It'll be fine. Not the hot stuff, though. Just cold coffee. Well, I'm so glad that you are here with us this morning. We got a little bit of a cold front that came through, and that's nice. We'll take it for as long as we can get it, right? For all my online people, we're so glad that you are with us as well. Glad that you're here joining us today. Well, we are in week three of our series, Foster Your Faith. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about fostering opportunities that God has given us in our lives. Even in the midst of everything that's been going on there, God is working and moving. And so there's these opportunities that he's given us. Last week, we talked about how it's so important for us to just kind of foster relationship in our life. We were made to do life together. We were not made to do life alone or in isolation. We were made to do life together. We were made to be in community as a body of believers, to go out into our community and share the word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about fostering those things in our life. How do we foster opportunity and foster relationship? This past Friday, we had our second all-team night. Does anyone have all-team night on Friday night? Where are my people at? It was awesome. We had about 60 people in here. And for those of you maybe are new or just joining us, we kicked off team nights at the beginning of the year for all of our teams. But we also wanted to make sure that we bring all of our teams together to foster kind of community and relationship. And so we had an amazing time on Friday night. Man, we miss those of you that couldn't make it to be here with us. You guys can go ahead and put that picture up of some of the stuff that was going on. And so we had a lot of people here, and it was just a great time of eating and hanging out, and really what team nights is all about, the all team night and the ministry specific team nights is all about fostering relationship here within our church, because we do get an opportunity to be with one another here on Sundays, but we're serving and we've got things going on and we're worshiping and we don't get a lot of time to really dive into deep relationship. And so we've created team night for that. I wanted to take a minute. I highlighted some people and some teams that have been fostering kind of opportunities and fostering relationships and fostering engagement, which is what we're going to be talking about today. So I wanted to highlight a few people in our kids ministry. I had some of our team leaders and our coordinators share some of the things. So in kids ministry, a few weeks back, we had three people step up to serve in kids ministry who weren't officially in kids ministry. It was Jim Strong, Cheryl John, and Maureen Palmer. Man, jumped in the night before to come and serve in our kids ministry. And I know that many of you have kids, and man, you are so thankful for our kids ministry and what they do every single week. And let me just really quickly tell you this about our kids ministry. I'm going to be honest and tell you that the same people are serving every single week, and they're serving their guts out, and they love to serve your kids. But one of the things that we've realized is that in serving every week, they're not able to get into worship every single week. So I want to do two things with this. One, I want to encourage you. If you're not plugged in, if you're not serving, if you're not engaged in any serve team, in kids ministry is something that you would like to get involved in, man, will you please fill that out on your next step card today? If you haven't gone through Moment Maker training, go through Moment Maker training. It'll be on March 7th. Man, we really want to ramp up this team so that we can continue to provide an amazing children's ministry for your kids, and that the ones who are serving every week can get into service, man, every other week. And so here's the thing. What we're planning on doing is, if we're not able to boost our kids ministry, more than double our kids ministry, we have a plan to once a month go to what we're calling a family service. And what that's going to mean is once a month, and it's not going to be the same week every month, but once a month we're going to say, hey, this weekend is a family service. Bring your kids, come into service. Your kids are welcome, but kids ministry will not be open, all in an effort to allow the kids ministry workers to get into service. So I just wanted to throw that out to you. So kids ministry, man, we got amazing people there. Worship, last week Robbie was out, but man, he has an amazing team. And Diego led last week, did a phenomenal job. You know, he's engaged in worship. He's also helping lead on Wednesday nights as well. Then just as far as like different things go on in service and events, if you came last week for all of our Valentine's stuff, we had reached out to the Bitters, Maddie Bitter, and asked her to man the Valentine's events, the chocolate-covered strawberries, the not-so-newlywed game. And so, man, we're just giving it up for them, engaging, man, stepping into opportunity and relationship. And one of the cool things that I also noticed is that we have more and more people that are available and stepping into opportunity to come up on stage and do announcements. And so it's just cool things are going on. I want to give a shout out to all of our teenagers that serve on our presentation team. You guys may not know it. They're back there in the back. But we have, man, a handful of teenagers who, man, every Sunday, they're back there. They're making sure that the lights look good, that the fog is good, that, you know, the image is looking good, that stuff's going online, and that's good. And so we have our teens serving there. A few weeks back, we had Kim Hall step up to begin to serve and to lead the cafe team. So the lady who serves you coffee and donuts every single week, man, she has an amazing team. And so she just stepped into that. And fun little fact, this will be our third week of us just brewing everything in-house. So now we're doing our own cold brew and we're doing our own hot. So everything is being done. And Kim Hall has stepped into that. And then last, I want to talk about our Connect team. Just two quick highlights on that of people kind of stepping up. We have a team called our Protect team. There are men who are, you know, standing and watching and making sure everything's okay and that y'all are safe and that your kids are safe. And just recently, Josiah Corkins has stepped up to lead that ministry. So let's give it up for him. And then we encourage you guys every single week to fill out your prayers, to fill out your praises. And we have a team of people who reach out. When you submit a prayer, we take those prayers, we pray over those prayers, and then we send them out to our team, and they reach out to you based on what you prayed about. And so every Sunday, we have a team who grabs those, prays over those, gets them entered in so that we can connect to you, connect them with you. And we have two people that have stepped it up big time in that area, and that's Will Rivera and Sheila Colon, who every Sunday are staying and helping us with that. And I want to share that with you because it kind of segues into what we're talking about today. Because there are people who are, and stepping into this opportunity, they are fostering relationship and they're getting engaged with what's going on here at Kairos and how we are taking what we learn here and going out into the community with it. To foster relationships, to foster opportunities, you have to foster engagement. So here's what I want to tell you. This is kind of your first fill-in, your first write-down. If you're following along online, if you want to take notes with you right there, you cannot foster what you are not willing to engage in. You can't foster, you can't grow, you can't encourage, you can't strengthen what you're not willing to engage in. And the reason that this is such a passionate subject for me is because I believe that 2020 was a year of disengagement, right? We were kind of forced to disengage. Church was kind of forced to shut down. And so we had to disengage for a while, and we separated from community, and we separated from relationship, and we separated from engagement. And there was fear, and there was uncertainty, and it was a tough year. But in the midst of all of it, in the midst of all the uncertainty, God continued to work miraculously through those who engaged in ministry. And that's what he does. And while ministry looked different for a time, and it still does, God is still doing miraculous things through those who are engaged in what he's called them to do. And it's so important for us to engage in ministry, even if there are some fears, even if there is uncertainty, even if there are doubts that come along with it. And so there was fear, there was uncertainty, there was doubt. We had, you know, church was online, and we were homeless because we got kicked out of the school, and they didn't want to kick us out, but they had to kick us out. And so many things that could have just stopped us dead in our track, but it didn't stop us, and it didn't stop God. And he's done amazing things through 2020 and into 2021 because we stayed engaged in his mission, in his ministry, and what he's calling each of us to do in our lives. So where can you do ministry? You know, I talked about this last week, that ministry is not just being on church staff or in church leadership or just doing something in this building. Being in ministry, ministering to others, is anywhere where God has you right now. In your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your community, whatever it may be. He's calling you to something right now. And so I want to talk about that, fostering engagement in our lives, how we can step in to engagement. We had this discussion probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago in our staff meeting. We were kind of just talking and kind of reminiscing over, you know, last year and what we saw. And we began to talk about how we feel like people do feel disconnected and do feel distant and do feel disengaged, and how, man, we are beginning to sense that people want to get more engaged. People do want to get back into community. There are still some hesitancies. There are still some concerns, but this desire within us, the way that God made us, he designed us to be in community. And so we talked about how can we foster that engagement? How can we foster engagement in a safe way and still, you know, let the people know that we do care about your concerns and what's going on. We're not blind to it. We're not throwing caution to the wind, but we also know that God's mission, what God's trying to do through our church and through his people, it still has to move forward because the enemy's not stopping, and so neither should we. And so we talked about engagement, and I said, you know what? That's our word for the year. The word for the year for our church is to engage. We want to engage. We want to engage in opportunities. We want to engage in relationships. We want to engage in what God's doing. I want to give you the definition of the word engage. Now, there's multiple ones, but they all kind of, man, back up what we're talking about. So, first thing, to offer something such as one's life or word as backing to a cause or aim. So we want to engage in the cause of Christ, in the cause of the gospel. Number two, to expose, to risk for the attainment or support of some end, right? And that end is to help other people embrace Jesus in their life. Three, to come together and interlock. I love this, right? And you think about it, gears engaging, and you think about, man, just it's making things work, and that's the body of believers, where we come together, we interlock, we do life together, we share prayers and praises, and man, as we begin to do that, in this body of believers, we foster our faith, it fosters the growth and encouragement of our church, and it fosters us going out there and telling more people about Jesus. And then the fourth thing is to do or take part in something. So it's all about engagement. And that's the purpose of this series, guys. We want to help you engage in church, to help you engage in relationships, to help you re-engage in ministry at home, in your workplace, in your community, or even right here in church. Let me pray, and then we're going to dive into the rest of this. God, thank you for today. Thank you for just a time of worship, for bringing us together, man, for allowing us to come here today, for those that joined us online that couldn't be here in person. I'm so glad that we get to come and worship you freely and openly, express our love for you and learn and grow in you. God, help us today engage in your word and in what your spirit is saying to us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, when you go and look at the Gospels, you look at Jesus' life, you look at the early church, you read Jesus' account in all of the Gospels, what you begin to see is that Jesus was fully engaged in ministry. He was fully engaged in people's lives. He was fully engaged in relationship. And his engagement with people, it was always at some risk. And people were coming against him because Jesus was hanging out with the sinners, right? He was hanging out with prostitutes and tax collectors and outcasts and the diseased and lepers. I'm going to switch over to this microphone. And so, you know, it was at a risk. And as people saw him doing that, the religious leaders of his time, like, you can't do that. You can't hang out with them. And so many people were judging him and coming at him. And in the end, it ended up costing him his life, right? The cost, the risk was huge. You think about the disciples, right, in the early ministry. You go and you read through Acts, and this church, this new thing that Jesus has started is kicking off, and then persecution happens, right? Saul comes in and begins to beat and imprison and kill Christians, and they're scattered. And where they're scattered, they're persecuted. But even in their scattering, they didn't give up. The mission kept going on. You read through Acts about Peter and Philip and these guys going out and going to different areas and preaching the gospel. Even though they were scattered, even though they were persecuted, even though there were risk involved, they still met, they still worshiped, they still shared, and God's kingdom grew. There was cost, there was risk, and it cost many lives. If you know of the 12, all but one were martyred for their faith. And that's the truth about our faith, man. It is going to cost us something, and we've got to be willing to risk for it. As you look back through history, you'll begin to realize that the Christian movement grew and expanded in times of great crisis, times just like what we are currently experiencing. And the reason that Christianity grew in those times, because instead of shrinking back, instead of hiding or being fearful, man, when times like what we're currently experiencing came, they stepped up, they served,
They preached. They lived on mission at the risk of their own health and of their own lives. And it, man, they could have come at them in any way. It could have been by sword. It could have been by disease. It could have been by judgment or persecution. But they served and they loved. I was reading this article this week on foreignpolicy.com. And I just wanted to share a little bit about some of the history of the Christian movement. It talked about some different plagues and how the Christians in those times, man, they grew because of how they were responding to what was going on. In the Antonine Plague, I might say some of these words wrong, it led to the spread of Christianity as Christians cared for the sick and offered a spiritual model that was counter to what people were saying at the time is that God hates us, doesn't love us, and he's killing us all off. And they're saying, no, God loves you and I'm here for you. The Plague of Cyprian, which was believed to be Ebola, it triggered the explosive growth of Christianity. Cyprian's sermons told Christians not to grieve for plague victims who live in heaven, but to redouble their efforts to care for the living. His fellow bishop, Dionysius, described how Christians are heedless of danger. They took charge of the sick, attending to their every need. And then another one goes on and says, the habitual sacrificial care has reappeared throughout history. In 1527, when the bubonic plague hit Wittenberg, Martin Luther refused calls to flee the city and protect himself. Rather, he stayed and ministered to the sick. In this, Luther produced a letter titled Whether Christians Should Flee the Plague, where he provides a clear articulation of the Christian epidemic response. And he said this, the plague does not dissolve our duties. It turns them to crosses on which we must be prepared to die. For Christians, it's better that we should die serving our neighbor than surrounded in a pile of masks we never got the chance to use. What a powerful, powerful word. And guys, it's no secret that the enemy loves to use fear to keep us from living out our faith. And he's done that. And maybe you've experienced that in your own life, or you've seen that in a family member's lives. Fear has been running rampant, and the enemy is loving it. But God wants us to use our faith to repudiate fear, to deny fear, to say, no, I'm not going to fear. Instead, I'm going to use my faith, and we're going to use our faith to help others and live out our faith, no matter what may come against us. You know, I remember when all this kicked off back in 2000, we were foster parents at the time, and, you know, there was this idea, should we still foster in a time like this? Because there were a lot of unknowns, and we're trying to protect ourselves and, you know, keep from maybe being around certain people. But if you bring a foster child or foster children into your home, you don't know where they've been. You don't know who they've been in contact with. You don't know if they could possibly have COVID and bring it into your home. And so fear came in, and maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should stop living out this calling for a time, and maybe it'll be all right. And so we prayed about that, and we talked about that. But in the end, we said, you know what? Man, God has called us to do this thing. And now, because of the fear of the enemy, there is a greater need for foster parents. Because there will be people that maybe are stepping back, maybe for good reason. They do have health issues and they can't. And so we said, you know what, we're going to do this. And we were able to still bring foster kids into our lives and care for them and love on them in the midst of all of this. There's this, you know, with school, get kids in school or keep kids out of school. How should we do that? Will we know what they're going to be in contact with? There's so many fears involved. But if we do that, what does that look like for our family and for our life? How does that look for us if we're wanting to witness and be a light out in the community? Then you think about church. And for a time, we had to shut down church because we had to. But then you begin to think, okay, well, do we meet again? How do we meet again? What does that look like? Are people going to come? Do we risk coming together and worshiping God? And honestly, it looked a little different for a while, but we risk it, man, because God is faithful and his promises stand. And God has done miraculous things through our ability to stand up to fear with our faith and say, no, we're not backing down from the mission that you called us to. Because in a time like this, people need us and need Christ in us more than ever. They need us to step up. They need us to foster our faith so that we can go out into our communities and bring the love and the hope that only Christ can have in a time like this. And yeah, we take precautions. We protect ourselves, we protect others. We make sure that we're being careful, but never at the cost of living out the mission and sharing the gospel. Hebrews 10, 23 and 25. It says this. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some in there in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So what's it saying there? Yeah, it's going to be tough. And yes, there are going to be times when you have to step up and you have to risk it. But man, we meet together and we encourage one another and we foster our faith. We foster relationship and we build up the community of believers so that we can stay strong in the midst of fear, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a pandemic. We show the world what Christians are all about and that we have a faith that is more powerful than anything the enemy can throw at us. Now, in my last letter, it mentioned Luther's letter, whether Christians should flee. And I want to share some of that with you. He says this, and let me just preface really quick. This letter is very good. Again, it's whether Christians should flee the plague. I encourage you, go read it. Just go look it up. You can find it. It's lengthy, but it's so good. And Luther, he's kind of responding to people asking him whether Christians should or should not flee, whether or not it's right for them to put themselves in danger. And he does a very good job at articulating his feelings and why he's doing what he's doing, but he also does a good job at saying, hey, man, if this isn't something you're feeling called to, and maybe that you have issues in your own health or whatever, then don't put yourself in danger. But we are choosing to stay in. So I just wanted to preface that for you. It says this, "Now, if a deadly epidemic strikes, we should stay where we are, make our preparations, and take courage in the fact that we are mutually bound together so that we cannot desert one another or flee from one another. First, we can be sure that God's punishment has come upon us, not only to chastise us for our sins, but also to test our faith and love, our faith in that we may see and experience how we should act toward God, our love in that we recognize how we should act toward our neighbor. I am in the opinion that all the epidemics, like any plague, are spread among the people by evil spirits who poison the air or exhale a pestilent breath which puts a deadly poison into the flesh. Nevertheless, this is God's decree and punishment to which we must patiently submit and serve our neighbor, risking our lives in this manner as St. John teaches. If Christ laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And he goes on and he says, the enemy uses fear. And I'm paraphrasing this. The enemy uses fear to make us deathly afraid, worried, and apprehensive that we see dying as horrible, and it cost us our peace while we are living. He causes us to question God and God's promise to us that we become unwilling and unprepared to die, and in moments of uncertainty, fear, and anxiety, they make us forget and lose Christ, our light and life, and we desert our neighbors in times of trouble. It's a powerful letter that speaks precisely to what each of us are going through right now. And let me just tell you, I want you to understand that each of us has to deal with this in a different way. For one reason or another, we have to deal with it in a different way. Maybe we are more at risk. And I don't want you to engage and go and serve the sick when you're at a high risk of becoming sick. And if you are sick, I don't want you to engage and go and spread that around. But you got to understand what he's saying here is that people are getting sick. And those of us who can go out, who can serve, who can love, take the precautions you need, but go and love your neighbor because they need you now more than ever. They need us to be there for them. Isolation, social distancing, all of this stuff, it has caused depression to reach an all-time high. Because we as a people are meant to be in community. And what this plague and what fear has done, or what this pandemic has done, is caused us to separate from one another, to be fearful of being around one another. And there's some good reason in that. We should take precautions. But at the same time, man, as Christians, we have got to be willing to sacrifice, to risk, to love, so that people can see the hope that Jesus has for them right here and right now. I wonder in your life, What's keeping you from engagement right now? What has kept you from engagement? Whether in church, at home, in your community, whatever it may be, is it fear of death? Is it fear of losing a loved one? Do you have insecurity? Do you have doubt? Maybe the enemy has lied to you and told you you're unqualified, or got you believing that no one sees you and you're unneeded. He has all these tactics and all these ways in which he wants us to disengage and distance ourselves from others in serving and loving, because he knows when we step into that, we get the love of Christ at its fullest. Right? When the body of believers are coming together, serving, encouraging, and fostering each other's faith and going out and serving, that's where he knows we will be most uplifted. It was so interesting, and I didn't share this, but I just remember this. In the first article, it said in these communities where Christians chose to stay and to serve and to love their neighbor, the death rate was half of everywhere else. I mean, just think about that. Say, be fearful. Back up. Don't be in community. Don't be around people. Protect yourself. Save yourself. But as Christians press in, more people get the hope of Jesus Christ and are saved. It's so important for us to engage. Hebrews 10, 32, 36, and then I'm going to read to you 39. And it's just talking about the Christians going through persecution and the things that they face and remembering the hope that they have found. It says, remember those early days after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions, right? The possessions that we have waiting for us in heaven. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And I love verse 39. It says, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we belong to those who have faith and are saved. We belong to a mighty, miraculous God who wants to use us and minister to others through us. And so for you in your life right now, or maybe it's something you've been dealing with, or maybe it will come up, as the enemy is whispering fear and lies into your head about what you can and cannot do or should and should not do, man, I would repeat these words that Luther wrote in his letter back to the enemy, okay? So he's coming at you. Here's what you say. You say, if Christ shed his blood for me and died for me, why should I not expose myself to some small dangers for his sake and disregard this feeble plague? Now, I know I don't want you guys to get, he's talking about this one. If you can terrorize, he's talking to the enemy, Christ can strengthen me. If you can kill, Christ can give life. If you have poison in your fangs, Christ has greater medicine. Should not my dear Christ, with his precepts, his kindness, and all his encouragement, be more important in my spirit than you, roguish devil, with your false terrors in my weak flesh? God forbid. Get away, devil. Here is Christ, and here am I. Let Christ prevail. Amen. And just imagine if he comes up to you, and that's what you say to him. You can bring anything at me. You can whisper lies, you can whisper fear, you can do doubt, insecurity, but my Savior, Jesus Christ, is greater than all of them. And I'm going to keep living in that and not live in the fear that you're trying to spew all over my life. You know, in the midst of all this, I'm reading through Luther's letter. And honestly, I'm feeling convicted. Strongly convicted. Because while I have stayed engaged, well, I have done everything within my power to make sure that we as a church stand and we can come together as a community of believers, I can honestly say that I feel as I might have failed some of you, maybe many of you. And so I want to say, and maybe you're not here, maybe you are here, and maybe I failed you along the way last year. I want to apologize for not reaching out, for not doing more, for not seeing that this is something that I needed to be doing all along. Because you were hurting. And you were confused. And you were scared. And I feel like in the midst of everything that was going on, even in my life, and I'm not perfect, and I try to do my best, but I was trying to figure this out too, but the enemy was able to put blockers on to the fact that no matter whether we were able to meet on Sunday, that didn't mean I couldn't reach out every other day. And so I'm sorry. I'm sorry if as a church in the last year, myself or someone else in this ministry has failed you in one way or another. Or maybe hasn't reached out to you in one way or another. And you might say, well, Pastor, you're doing a great job. Listen, that's fine. I'm not trying to like discourage myself. But I do understand when the Spirit is convicting me of something that I failed on, because he's called me to be the shepherd of this church. And I feel there are some people that I have failed and have not been able to reach out to. And maybe the same is true for you. You know, maybe you were connected with people. Maybe you did build relationships and then everything happened and you just got distant and you got disconnected. And that's the reality. Through the last year, there are so many people that have become distant, that have become isolated, that have or are not able to attend or visit or partake. And not because they're making excuses, because they legitimately can't. Because they would be putting themselves in danger. I don't want them to do that. But just because they can't be here doesn't mean I can't be reaching out to them. And we did our best. So here's what I'll say. If you're watching online, and you, man, for the last year, have desperately wanted to be here, have desperately wanted to be in community, but you physically could not because of your health. First, I want to say I'm sorry. And second, I would encourage you to let us know how we can reach out to you right now. Maybe it's stopping by and bringing you food. Maybe it's just coming and praying with you. You stay inside, we'll stay outside. I don't know what it is. But if you need help, if you need support, if you feel so distant and so forgotten and so unseen and so isolated and depression is ramped up in your life, I want to be a light that comes in for that. But I need you to reach out and I need to know about it. I can't know everyone that's not here. And this is why it's so important for our prayers and praises. Guys, I can't know what you're going through unless you share it with me. I can't support you in the decisions that you have to make for you and for your family if I don't know about it. So I encourage you, if you're online, man, go and share a prayer of praise. Write in there right now, hey, this is how I'm feeling, Pastor Brent. Thank you for recognizing this. I would love for someone to stop by. I would love to receive a phone call every week. I don't know what it is, but we want to reach out to you. Guys, it takes a lot to confess, recognize sin or a shortcoming or a mischance to foster relationship or foster opportunity. Here's what I'll say to you today is if God is revealing something to you or convicting you of something that you need to confess, maybe, man, you have kind of stepped back out of fear or doubt or uncertainty. Maybe you have been making excuses as to why you're not engaged, as to why you're not coming to church. It has nothing to do with health reasons. You were afraid. Or maybe you've let someone else down who reached out to you because you didn't want to put yourself into a situation where you might get COVID. Man, today, deal with that. And just know, as your pastor, I have failed people. But I've recognized it. And I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to be a church that isn't reaching out and ministering to as many people as we possibly can. I want to be a church that's helping you right where you're at and right where you're going through, but I need to know about it. And here's the other thing that's so important about all of this, about fostering our faith, about fostering opportunities and relationships. Man, I can't do it all myself. We are a body of believers for a reason. And maybe God is calling you to join the prayer team so that you can reach out and support people. Maybe God has brought you on a serve team to put you in the life or in the path of someone else that you can speak into their life. Foster those relationships. And get engaged in the mission of what God is doing right here and what he's needing us to go and do out there. God wants you to be engaged in his mission. Yes, be careful. Yes, take precautions. But man, let's be a church that is reaching people for Christ in the midst of this epidemic and the things that are going on right here. Let's be a church that is showing people that, man, you might be blaming God right now, but he has a group of people that are ready to love you and give you the hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Would you all bow your heads and pray with me? God, this is one of those convicting messages for each and every one of us. Even as a pastor, God, as I have done my very best to foster opportunity and relationship and engagement, I do know that I've missed people and that I've failed people. And Lord, I am sorry. But I know that those in this room and those who are listening or watching right now, there's probably some conviction going on. Just about the opportunities that you've called them to and they've pushed back from. Those relationships that you needed them to step into to bring the hope and light into a dark and depression that someone is going through. That God, I pray for each of us right now that we would recognize our sin, our shortcomings, our failures, that we would confess them to you, and that we would go and we would step into the opportunity, that we would step into the relationship that you called us into because we need each other now more than ever. God, let us be bold. Let us risk and get engaged like Jesus did. Let us go, even though we may be scattered. Even though we may be here in person and some online, let us be carriers of the gospel message of hope that is found in your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us boldness. Give us strength. Encourage us. Empower us. Strengthen us. Build us up so that we can be your people in a time of great crisis and great need. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.